So stand before you this morning in the fear of God, and I want to bring glory to His name. I was impressed thus far with how the service tied together with what I planned to share this morning. I did not know what Brian was going to talk about, and I had not looked at the Sunday school lesson before I started preparing. But I was challenged. A burden was placed on me this week, and I was challenged. And I studied this as I studied for this morning. I realized how much I needed myself. So this morning I preached to myself, and I invite you to listen in, because this is a message. This is a message that I recognize in my life, that if I have wrong, I not only affect myself, but affect those that follow me and affect those that are around me. And this is life. This is life we live in. And I was impressed this morning with the devotions. He talked about the wisdom of a man that delivered the city. So one thing we know is there was a city that was delivered, and there was a man that had wisdom. But that's it. And it doesn't matter, because the picture we serve, the God we serve this morning, the part we play in the wheel, the vine we are part of this morning, is bigger than myself. It's older than myself. And I'm simply here because God placed me here. So you have your Bibles this morning in John chapter 15. Each of us here this morning are part of the whole, because there is a complete picture that God has, and we are placed here. John chapter 15, I'll begin reading in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that is in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except that it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. These things that I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hateth me before it hateth you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I have said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. But I have not come and spoken unto them. They had not had sin. No, let me start back over on that. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hateth me without a cause. And when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you, the Father, was sent unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth down from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. I titled my thoughts this morning, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. And I was inspired with this when I thought about God and what Jesus does for us. And Jesus makes a way that we are part of the vine. Jesus declares here that he is the true vine. And if he says he is the true vine, it means there must be other vines. There's false vines. There's vines that left the true vine and said, I'm going to make my own roots and do my own thing. I'm going to be my own vine. But Jesus says, I am the true vine. So we see a picture. I did some research on grapevines, and a lot of my references this morning are going to be looking at the grapevine aspect of the vine. There's other vines, but we're looking at the grapevine today. I think that Jesus talked about his body's going to be crushed, and the fruit of his, we're going to drink his blood, and we drink the wine or the grape juice, and that is the fruit of the vine. And Jesus says that he is the true vine. A true vine is always growing. A true vine will always be pushing new shoots and new branches, and it will provide the support and nourishment for the branches. And a true vine gives the branches identity. And Jesus says that I am the true vine. A typical grapevine can last 100 years or more, and the oldest one recorded is in Slovenia. It's 150 years old. It is still growing, and it produces about 100 bottles of wine a year off that particular grapevine. In the commercial world, grapevines only last 30 to 40 years and they're replaced because they're no longer economically feasible if you're pushing for full production of grape juice. But it is easy, a 30 to 40 year changeover, it's time to change them out so that you can keep the quantity up. But when people get past the 40 years and they go to the old vine standing, we don't know exactly where that is. Once you go to an old grapevine, the production is less, but the quality is higher. Older vines make less volume. But if people are willing to wait, the quality will go up and compensate. They're no longer going to be making money on the volume, but they'll make money on the quality. And I think about how many times in life we look at Jesus says he is the true vine. Jesus is the old vine. It's solid. It's rock solid. The Church of Jesus Christ is here today. It's been here since he died on the cross 2,000 years ago. And he is the vine, the true vine. The only vine. The vine that continues to push new branches. We are here this morning because we were created as a branch to be part of the vine. Whether we were grafted in. Well, we were grafted in. We're wild olive branches grafted in. And we can remember that. But at the same time, we are Jesus' church is going forth. The vine is growing. Always growing. Always producing more. Jesus is not replaced every 30 or 40 years. Jesus is not worried about being the most popular. He's not worried about being, is it fully economically makes sense? Jesus says, I am the true vine. I am here. I will be here. I always will be here. He stood the test of time. And so many times we get to thinking that there's something that ought to change, but we've got to remember that the Word of God has, in its purity, will not change, even today. This past week I saw a picture, I think it was a guy who was up at the World Trade Center, and I was impressed that in the World Trade Center there is a Bible that is fused to a beam, and the page that is still legible is Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 to 38. It covers divorce, swearing, and retaliation. Do we believe the word of Jesus is true this morning? In the midst of all that corruption, you think about what happened there. If they would actually follow the Bible, what Jesus says, the true vine, the world we live in today would be a different place. There is a true vine. There's a false vine. Imagine the difference if man actually would have followed that. And Jesus also says that he is the true vine. He goes to something else. He says that his Father is the husbandman. So Jesus is this true vine. Jesus is the one in the garden. Jesus is the one and only, the true vine that the Father wants to, that the, wants to serve the Father. And he says that, he said, my Father's the husbandman or the farmer. My Father, God. God is the farmer. God brings this vine. With God being the husband of this true vine, it puts ownership of this vine in terrific control and care. God cares for this vine. Healthy vines need to be cared. Healthy vines need to be cared continually. If they're left on to themselves, they'll get ragged and they'll lose production. It's a continual annual care, not once and done. There's people, I was doing some research, people are asking what they should do with an overgrown vine. One that was the one they found on their property from many years ago, and they said, they were asking other what we should do. And the advice was consistently the same. You gotta cut it way back, and you gotta get rid of an awful lot. And don't hesitate. If you're in question, just cut it back. It'll be okay. So many times in our own lives, we're running the same thing. Healthy vines need continual care. They need pruning and sorting and trimming. New branches are supporting new branches. The new branches that are made need to be supported on trellises or wires or something to give support, so that these branches that are made can support the weight of the fruit. And this is the job of the husbandman, the job of the farmer. They take the vine, the new shoots from the vine that's of the true vine, and they continue to, they make it work. They train the vine to allow the air and the sunlight as needed, because it needs to be separated out so that sunlight can get to the fruit and ripen the fruit. And we see this, if Jesus says he is under the perfect will of God, he is perfect before God, he wants to serve God. So Jesus is the true vine, he's under God's care, he yielded his own life to the will of God. He says through here in this chapter that I want you to love me and follow my commandments as I follow the commandments of God, because I do the will of my Father. So by extension, the church, we are growing and multiplying until the husbandman decides the time is over. Even in commercial world's day, the farmer decides when it's time the vine is going to be over, or the vine's going to quit, and we're going to change it. And I think about this, that also applies even in the day, even in our lives today. The church of Jesus Christ will go forth. The true vine will continue to go forth until the husbandman says, it's over. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 says, in that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So we talk about the true vine. And we think about the vine. I don't know, when you look at a vine, any mess of whatever you look at, when you look at a vine, what do you actually see? Point number two. I want to look deeper at verses 5-7. It says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and they cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you, done for you. So I asked the question this morning. Jesus said he is the true vine, but I asked the question, what is a vine without branches? When you look at a grapevine, what's the vine and what's the branches? Can you separate, is a vine without branches a vine? So you see what we have here? Jesus, Almighty God, says, I am the true vine. And this true vine he has will have branches. It will have branches. And Jesus does not separate himself from the branches. He says, I am the true vine. So he puts us all together into one. Because you have a trunk. You can think about that as the vine. But you have a trunk, but you have branches. And the only way to have vines is to have a trunk and branches. Otherwise, it's just a stick. So I think about how much love Jesus shows for his church when he identifies himself and says that I am the true vine. And then he says, in the part of this picture, you are the branches that are part of this vine. So we are one with Christ. And since we talked about the vine will always be producing branches, there will always be branches coming in. There will always be new branches growing on the vine of Christ, on the true vine. Jesus identifies with the church, and then the husband, it's the husbandman's job that checks the branches, decides the placement, and looks for the health. So we see here in this chapter, Jesus stresses that the branches must be part of the vine. Branches that are not, and I don't know how long a branch can be disconnected from the vine. Branches must stay connected to the vine because there is safety in the vine. You look at a, I guess I'm going to use the analogy of a tree a little bit. You look at a storm goes through on a tree, and there will be always branches left in the tree if the tree is still standing. There may be some that left, but there's always branches still there. The branches together can help break the wind, and as a unit, the hedge or the vine or the tree or the growth as a unit is strong. The trunk is strong, and as a unit, the branches help support each other, and they can be strong. But in a storm, the weak branches will be torn off, and you will see where the dead is. And they will be lost if there isn't a strong enough connection with the vine. So branches, they must stay connected. If branches are disconnected, there's only a certain amount of time a branch that is disconnected from the vine is still a viable graft to be back in. Now we know that Jesus has more power than, this is where all analogies break down. You have limitations. But there's an analogy there. How long can we be connected? How long can we be disconnected from a branch before we are simply from the vine? How long can a branch be disconnected from a vine before it's just a stick? And it's fuel. It's worthless. It's nothing. We don't want it. Where does it fit? Because there is no life. There is no life in the branch itself. The branch is connected at one end to the trunk, and the other end it's producing fruit. But there's no life in that branch itself, per se. If it loses the connection at the one end, there will be nothing at the other end. It is the trunk or the vine that connects the branch to the earth. It's the one, the vine is what provides the life, the water, the nutrients, the source, the support, the strength to the branch. The branch is nothing. It's just there. It is merely a channel by which the power and life from the vine can be transferred to the fruit. Because a vine complete needs a trunk, roots, and branches. There is no original life. And if you take a branch and you take it away from the vine and you take it away from the fruit, you don't even know, you can't even identify it, what it actually is. Branches that are disconnected become fuel for a fire. And a branch that is not connected to the vine is dying, always dying, because it's only passing stuff through. So whatever it's connected to is whatever it's passing through. The other thing I found interesting in a branch, you know, a trunk of a tree, the trunk or the main portion of the vine bears no fruit. But the branches bear the fruit. The branches are the glory. The branches support the leaves and the fruit, which makes the vine beautiful. Jesus says that he is the true vine. And he loves the members of the vine. He wants them to be part of it. He wants them to be part of the vine. And once a branch is part of a vine, and you see what it's connected to, you see the whole picture. It's very easy to identify, especially when it's bearing leaves or fruit. But it's easy to get sticks mixed up. You don't know which tree it come from. You don't know which vine it come from. The branches that are in the vine should want to be there. And they want to be like the vine. You see, it's easy sometimes to say that I'm going to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ. And the Church of Jesus Christ could do exactly what I want it to do. But you know, when we become one of the body, we become one of the vine. Suddenly it's no longer about this individual branch. When I go pick fruit, if you go pick fruit off a vine, think about a pea vine. When you go pick a pea off the pea vine, I have no idea which branch that came from. I just know whether the fruit's good or not. And there's so much in life that is like that in our lives. That so many times we want the emphasis to be on the branch Or we want the emphasis to be the glory. We want the glory to go to the branch. But Jesus says that you're simply a branches of this vine. You're simply serving your role in this big picture. And then we're going to see the fruit. We're going to want fruit out of this. The branches of the grapevine are different than the branches of a raspberry bush. The branches that are tied to the vine, well, Jesus loves the branches of his vine. He wants the branches to be part of him. And the branches will be different than other vines or bushes. The branches of a grapevine are different than a raspberry bush. They have different leaves. They expected fruit at different times of the year. They have different characteristics to them because it's part of a different vine. Jesus says to abide in him and to keep his commandments. There's things in life that we follow. We follow Jesus' commandments because we're part of his vine, not my vine, or not some other connection. And part of this thing, then Jesus gets to where it starts to, you know, it's all fun to be part of the vine, but then Jesus starts saying, you know, if you're going to be part of the vine, as branches of a true vine, we're going to love each other. That's what we're going to do. We're going to get along in a way that brings peace and glory to God, because Jesus says, if you're going to abide in me, you're going to be like me. And I and the Father are one. And we love each other. And I do the Father's commandments. And if you're going to be part of this bush, part of this vine, you're going to function in the same aspects that we do. And we're going to love each other. In verses, I think about, right along with that, we think about how many times when you see a bush or you see a vine, we saw it before, it's more than just one branch. So when we're part of the body of Christ, we're part of the church of Jesus Christ, we're part of even break it down to a local congregation, there is a love and acceptance and appreciation for those around us because they are also part of the vine. We're tied together. We're part of the true vine. Verses 15 and 16, 18 to 22, Jesus goes across this thing. Henceforth I call you not servants, for servants knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask in my Father's name he may give it you. And drop it down to verse 18, the world hate you. If the world hate you, and you know that the world hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of this world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Jesus says that we're part of the vine. We're going to be friends of God. And this really spoke to me. I saw this in a new light this time. When Jesus says that, so many times I talk about servants of Jesus Christ. But Jesus told his disciples here, he says, you're no longer servants, but you're my friends. Have you ever thought about that we are Jesus' friends? That puts it a little personal, but that's what Jesus says. And Jesus says that if servants don't know what their master's going to do, the master is not required to tell his servants what's next, other than what they need to know to make things happen. But Jesus says, you're my friends. And friends share things. And friends know things. Jesus has provided to us all that we need to know in order to bear fruit and be in life of the vine, because we are friends with Jesus. And because we're friends, we recognize where Jesus is in our lives, we choose to be servants. But Jesus says, you're my friends. And Jesus has chose us, and he has made us part of the vine to make us to give us what we need that we can be fruitful. Being part of this vine, we will be part of it. We will be different in the world. Because we talked about, Jesus said he is the true vine. And if there's other vines, we're going to have to know where we are attached to. Are we attached to the true vine 100%? Or are we only attached when it feels good? And I'd really rather be identified as, I'd really would kind of like to be identified for another kind of bush. I mean, you know, grapes are all right, but I'd rather have some thorns like a raspberry because it gives me my own space. We may, being part of this vine, we will accept what Jesus does. And we will be part, we will have to face the persecution. We have to face the people looking at us a little bit weird at times. Because we are a branch of the true vine. In Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 17, therefore, brethren, ye are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, ye shall live, for as many are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, that we, if so, be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified to God, glorified together. Remember, we are friends of Jesus. Jesus said, you are my friends. Not just my servants. I want you to be part of me. We sang that song this morning about Jesus preparing a place. And I think about what does that song actually do for us? Do we believe that? Do we live our lives in a way that it says, I'm identifying with Jesus. He's gone before me. I'm identifying with Jesus and I'm identifying with the Church of Jesus Christ today, here, physically. All branches that are part of this vine are inspected to bring forth fruit. They are inspected regularly for fruit and life. And the husbandman of the vineyard looks at his vine. We may be tempted to think that we are some powerfully important branches of the vine. And we can think about it ourselves. Sometimes we can wrap it up. We get life wrapped around ourselves and think about, you know, I'm in this vine, I'm pretty important. We better be a good-looking branch. And the glory starts coming back. And this past week, or Friday, we took a field trip to D.C. And I am amazed at the vanity on display there in D.C. The architecture impresses me. But you know, you see the bust of all these different people, and everybody's called out by name, and you have monuments to people, and streets named, and all this happens for people. They're people. But you know, the man in the story Brian read this morning, he did a deed. He saved people. We don't know who he was. Isn't that what Jesus wants from us? And if we're a branch in this vine, the fruit of my life, the fruit that is born in my life, will just be the fruit. The branch is immaterial. Because it's just a channel, only a channel. We may have lots of growth and leaves, and we may appear healthy on the outside, but is there fruit from the branch? Jesus says that I am the true vine, and a true vine we know has a trunk and we know it has branches. But if Jesus is the true vine, he is going to have fruit. And what is the fruit this morning that is in your life? Where is it coming from? Is there fruit? Or am I just a branch and I'm here? I have some pretty leaves, but the fruit, maybe come back tomorrow. But you know, that's what the husband looks at. The husband looks at this true vine and he's working on it. And he looks at each piece. He cares about each branch. Jesus says Jesus cares about all the branches. Because Jesus, there is one vine, there's not 20. There's one vine. And if a branch in this vine is not bearing forth fruit, it's affecting the output of the vine. The whole vine. Because each branch is critical for the whole. And point number 3, Jesus says in verse 8, it says, herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. That ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. The trunk we said produces no fruit itself. The trunk of the vine is only the center. All fruit is born on the branches. And Jesus says that herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Jesus identified himself as the true vine. He identified his Father as the husband. He identified us as the branches. Jesus identifies in us. He gives us power. If we are connected to the vine, he gives us power that we bear much fruit, not just a little bit. Jesus has many branches because he wants to produce much fruit. God wants the fruit from our lives. And we are responsible. The branches are responsible to be so connected to the vine that the fruit will be produced. So what fruit are we looking for? Jesus talks about in this lesson, or in this chapter, he talks about the love for each other. And I was impressed because the parallels with Jesus taught also earlier in Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 to 40. Then said one of them, which was lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophet. Jesus said, The commandment I give you is that ye love one another. He chose the most difficult thing. Wouldn't it have been easier for him to say, wouldn't it be so much easier for us if he would just say, if you would just shut up and do your own thing when you want to do it? And just stay out of everybody else's business. You know, then we could actually sit and we just, you know, it would be easy to stay inside that box, maybe, for some of us. But Jesus says no. He says, you bear much fruit when you love one another. Even in he told the lawyer, he said, the first commandment is you love God, first and foremost. And we love God, we stay connected to the vine, that's where we are. But then he says, the next thing you're going to do is you're going to love each other inside this vine. Because we're not the only branch. There's more branches than us. So we work together. Branches are part of the vine. The vine will have many branches. And these branches got to get along. Branches got to love each other. And so many times in my life, I speak this to myself. That I'm tempted to struggle with love. Like, why does it matter? Or, really? You know, we struggle with this sometimes. It's life. But God says, you show your love to me with what love you put to your fellow man. It is the first commandment God has for us. It is the first in the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5. So the fruit that is born in our lives when we are connected to the branch, when we're connected to the vine, is going to be love and care for our brothers. It's the foundation and the basis for all mankind's relationships. And love is the love we have for someone else is a choice. It's not forced on us. It's not guaranteed. It's not always easy. But when we choose to love somebody else, it is a choice I personally give. It is a choice that we choose to give up our self-love to love somebody else. You know, in order for me to love somebody else, I'm not going to use names because I'm not here to make it that sharp. But in order for me to love somebody, I have to be willing to give up myself and agree that other people can tell me what to do. It's love. It's working together. It's part of the vine. Because if I have disdain for those around me, if I have disdain for anyone, any other branch in the vine, that he has no right to be there, he has no right to direct me. Is that love? How can I say I love the vine and hate the branch beside me? With love, the other fruit of the Spirit will follow. With love for our fellow men and love for the vine, we will have joy in our life because we will have placement. And I will be satisfied. And beyond, in following up with joy, we will have peace because I am here. I am at peace. I have a place in the vine. The master, the husbandman, has left me here. He has not plucked me off yet, and I better be bearing fruit. The whole fruit of the Spirit, part of love and joy and peace. When we have love in our heart, we will also have long-suffering. Because if I truly love my brother and understand the love that God had for me and the long-suffering he gives for me, when I recognize the reconciliation that's part of this, I will have long-suffering. And when my brother does falsely against me one time, and even at the 490th time, I will forget the first time because I love and I care for him. Long-suffering. It just goes on and on. We are part of the vine. We expect it. Jesus was persecuted before us. We also will be persecuted. Goodness and gentleness and meekness. We are part of the vine. We are part of a vine that's bigger than myself. I'm part of the vine by the mercy of God. I'm allowed to be part of the vine, part of the church of Jesus Christ, part of the true vine, a friend of Jesus. Because God chose to love me. And out of the fruit of that, we will have gentleness. There will be goodness. There will be meekness. Because I'm part of the vine. The vine's not part of me. It's not about me. Suddenly, we are the branches. We are not the fruit of the vine. We are the branches covered with leaves bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. Just a branch. This shows meekness and humility. We allow those around us to assist us. We allow our branches, as a branch, we allow ourselves to be tied to wires because we need it for fruit. We're gentle. And true love for God and others keeps life. Not about me, but I recognize that I'm part of the vine to bring glory to the God. I'm part of the vine to bring fruit in my life for God. I'm not even going to consume the fruit. It's for somebody, it's for God. Someone else will partake of the fruit of my life. And with that, the other part of the fruit is also faith. We bear the fruit. We bear fruit in faith. We're attached to the vine. The power flows through us, and it's putting fruit out. And we have faith that what we're doing is because we are tied together. I'm not getting the benefit out of it, but I have faith that God flowing through me, the fruit from my life, will bring glory to him in a way that I may not see the end of. But I'm not the husbandman. I'm just a branch. Jesus gave all for us, and we in faith, as a branch, will give all for the vine. And the last point, the last of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance. We allow our branches to be molded. We will be like the Master wants. And when we become useful, when we are temperate in all things other than just bearing fruit. Part of the vine, bearing fruit. All worthy branches that are bearing fruit. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. So, you know, I'm not sure where you feel like you are in life, but God touches every branch. Sometimes you think I'm really bearing fruit, and therefore I should probably be left alone because I am just, this is working. But you know what it says here in verse 2? It says, the unfruitful branches are removed. They're taken care of. We get rid of the unfruitful ones. But the branches that bear fruit, God purges so they bring forth even more fruit. So, you know, as a branch, we're simply there in the vine, part of God's plan. And I was impressed in a grapevine. Too much water and too much fertilizer will actually destroy the quality of the fruit. A grapevine, too much water will water down the fruit. Too much fertilizer will put on a whole lot of leaves and show and vegetative growth. But the fruit is not that much. The fruit is actually worse. So you take the water away and give it stress. And take the fertilizer away and give it a little bit of stress. The fruit becomes intense. It might be a little bit less, but the fruit is intense and of higher value. Too much vegetative growth will shade the fruit. The fruit won't ripen. And it won't get good. So we need to consider our own lives. Where are we at in life? So many times we live our lives, we just want lots of fertilizer and lots of water and lots of easy things into my life. Because I think that's the way I can produce fruit. You know, if I don't have to practice love and peace and joy, if I don't have to practice long-suffering, if I don't have to practice faith because I have it all mapped out in a perfect plan, well, I'm going to produce a whole lot of faith because I can talk about love and faith and peace and long-suffering and joy and happiness. And we can talk about it and it can look like it might be an awful lot of fruit, but you know what? It's kind of empty and bland. There's no quality there. There's nothing there. But you know, when we are actually tested and God prunes us and God purges us and he snips that branch off, he snips the part of us off that we thought was actually bearing fruit, there's fruit that will come out of our lives, and it's what God wants. God wants both from us. He not only wants high quality, but he also wants sufficient quantity. So as a branch of the true vine, are we allowing God to work in our lives so that we can be changed? James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Let's kneel for prayer.